Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
Sports news, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to The Locker Room, your show for sports news, views and interviews. Ben Langan, my name. Now, Mark Rowland is my normal co-host, but he's over in the UK at the moment. He'll be joining us on the phone a little later on to bring us up to date with everything that's happening in over there for Wimbledon, also the build-up to the Ashes as well over there. So a lot of news coming out of the UK. But joining me tonight is a buffet of sports bullfeds, as I'd like to say. Michael Smithy-Smith is here in the studio with me and Adam Samuel as well. Welcome, gents.
Welcome. Great nice to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is our first show in our brand new time slot. We're at 7 p.m. Wednesdays now. We have been holding down the fort, 9 p.m. on Mondays. So really excited to be here at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. And we'll be here for the next 12 weeks or so. So looking forward to your company. If you're new to the show tonight, welcome. If you've followed us across from our old time slot, thank you for joining us once again. Now, we will get to Mark very soon in the UK. But also on tonight's show, we're talking to Tom Nobay. Now, he's the director of the Gay Games, which is going to be held next year in 2014 in Cleveland, Ohio. A great interview coming up very soon. Also tonight, starting at the end of July, 26th of July, is the Frosty Fruits Ski Week. It's being hosted at Hotham Alpine Resort, and that will be a really cool gay event for any of you snow bunnies out there as well. We'll be talking to Adam Bold, who's one of the event producers for the week that's being put on there. We'll also talk a little bit about the Aussie men's cricket team as they build up towards the Ashes, and of course some of the news from Wimbledon as well. Aussies are all out. In fact, all the big names are pretty much out now. There's not many left at all. As always, Smithy will bring us up to date with all the latest AFL news as well. So that's coming up as well a little later in the program.
First up, with Rolly away, we have left our weekly news roundup to you, Adam. So what have you got for us?
Oh, let me tell you, fellas, what a week in sport it has been. Starting off, let's go to tennis. And it seems that the low 20-degree heat wave is seeming too much for our top elite tennis players over in England, many bowing out to the lower seeds early in the competition. Early in the first five matches, fifth seed Rafael Nadal was beaten in three sets by Dacus from Belgium. The Spaniard, who was a favourite to win Wimbledon this year, bowed out gracefully. He did mention that it was a very tough match for him. On a positive note, we won't have to watch him picking at his underwear for the rest of the tournament.
What's wrong with
someone
watching
enjoy that, wouldn't
what's wrong with that?
Well, it's a superstition. I think someone needs to give him a bit of counselling. Also to leave was Serena Williams, Victoria Azarenka, Maria Sharapova, Roger Federer, Tsonga, Wozniacki. Boy, that's an impressive list
some
of people.
Big names all out.
I don't think there's too many tears being shed over Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova being...
Oh, look, you know what? Serena Williams has been in scintillating form. It's been some great tennis to watch, so disappointing she's not going to be there.
Yeah, but she's annoying.
She is annoying.
She is annoying, absolutely.
Yeah, she said a few stupid things recently.
Sharapova's grunting is pretty annoying as well.
If we go back to last week's show, we learned a few things that Serena Williams did mention at the start of the Wimbledon, so I hope that she's not, you know, eating her own words. But you know what? It does pave the way for the next generation of players like Del Potro, Verdasco, Flipkins and Lisicki, who are managing to get through in there. Matches. Unfortunately for tennis umpires, they're having to learn a whole new set of names now, and as they walk on the court, you know, their names are announced and everyone looks at each other and goes, who?
Yeah.
You know?
They don't make it easy for the commentators, do they, these tennis players?
No, definitely not. Let's go across here to home to AFL, and I won't take Smitty's thunder away from his AFL segment. I just want to mention that Melbourne and North Melbourne both had a win.
Yeah, of course, you had to work that in the beginning of the program.
Well, North Melbourne managed to beat a side that hasn't won a game all year, just saying. I'm not getting too excited down at Arden Street.
Well, you know what? As a very passionate Demon supporter, I'm just glad we won a game, and that's all I'm saying.
Just happy to get the 4 points.
The 4 points is all we need, which is a bit funny because, you know, coming off a coach being left out. They played sensationally last week. They didn't win, but they played a lot better than they had been. So let's see what happens for the rest of the season. We may scrape 13th or 12th this year. Anything's possible.
What's the latest in the coaching situation there?
Oh, well, they've got a fill-in coach at the moment.
So he's staying for the rest of the season?
For the rest of the season, yes, and then we'll see what happens.
Right.
We don't want to get too hung up on AFL, though. We want to, you know, talk about a broad range of sports.
And talking about a broad range of sports, NBA. What's happening in the NBA?
In the NBA, as the Miami Heat still party on hard and LeBron James continues to kiss his biceps after their win, free agency has started, and boy, has it started. The first deal on the table this year saw the Pelicans putting a monstrous $44 million offer to current Sacramento Kings guard Tyreke Evans. And let's just say he actually got drafted in 2010, so $44 million 3 years in, 3 seasons in.
Smithy, we're playing the wrong sport, I think.
Yeah, my God, especially if you get to kiss your biceps.
Yeah. I need some first.
Yeah. You know what? I also want to throw out a special mention that I'm sure my 13-year-old brother who lives and breathes NBA, Elliot, he would love $44 million. And also a special mention to him and his fellow teammates from the Sandringham Sabres, who tomorrow are going off to the NITP, which is Basketball Australia's National Intensive Training Program. For those that want to be a Boomer or an Opal one day or represent their state here, he led South Australia last year to second place. So he is hoping that he can do something great
good
this
on you,
year
Elliot.
In Victoria.
Good stuff.
And he will get out of bed for less than $44
million. I say, hey, do you want to go get lunch at Macca's? And he goes, sure, I'm there. So, you know. Let's moving on to cricket now. Chris Rogers has been confirmed to play in the first Ashes test for Australia, which is great. And new coach Darren Lehman is sure making some wolves.
Darren Lehman, boof. He's back.
He's back.
He's exciting.
He's back. That is exciting, I think. I mean, we needed a shake-up in Australia. Oh,
we need some character in cricket again.
Agreed.
Like Mickey Arthur and his homework. I mean, no one wants to see that.
Bring back the Mose, I say.
Yeah, Darren Lehman's always that cricketer's cricketer. Like, he's carrying a bit of weight. You know, he's a bit of a rough around the edges. I'm liking this.
I'm expecting
VB
him
still sponsoring. They should bring back their sponsorship, I think.
Yes, and David Boone. Yeah. Should be playing again, I think.
I'm kind of expecting him to be standing at the top of the stand holding a meat pie in one hand, a VB another guy, you
know,
yelling.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Doug Walters, your heart out.
Now, he is making some major changes, placing Rogers along with Shane Watson at the top of the order, which is a huge leap for Rogers. He has been playing cricket for a few years now, but only recently been standing out for Western Australia and Victoria in country cricket. So it's a great opportunity for Rogers to break out and get into the Australian
and look,
squad.
Watson is doing very well back at the top of the order. I mean, he hit a beautiful 100 yesterday in Worcester in a tour match in the lead up to the Ashes. So, it's looking good for the Aussies. They seem to be on the up.
I think that's Worcester.
Worcester?
Yeah.
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Okay.
Moving on, rugby union.
Now, I know that this is going to be a huge topic of discussion tonight, so I just want to quickly mention that there was another sigh of relief for Wallaby supporters, players and coaches as Captain James Horwell was once again cleared of stomping and will play in the decider against the Lions. I mean, How do you boys feel about that?
Accusing a rugby union player of stomping, I mean, that's just outrageous. Who would do that?
It's gone too far, hasn't it? I mean, it's getting a bit ridiculous.
But stomping was part and parcel of the game not that long ago. I mean, it was expected.
You know what, if you're going to put your head down on the ground in the line of someone running towards you, isn't that kind of expected that your head may get stepped on if you're going to be that silly about
it's
it?
It's a bit of an occupational hazard, I think. I mean, I think it just shows how much is on the line for this series and how far, you know, and how important it is to so many different stakeholders in this tournament that, you know, everyone has a fair crack. And, you know, bizarre situation where the IRB appealed their own man's decision, but good for the Aussie camp that he will play on the weekend. So looking forward to a massive clash. We'll talk more about that soon.
Absolutely. And lastly on the roundup tonight, let's go across to lovely Europe. Now, there's a few guys doing a leisurely bicycle ride through the lovely hills of Europe, or as they like to call it, the Tour de France. That has taken off with huge momentum. This is the 100th year.
Can you just say France again?
France.
Oh, that was very impressive.
Oh, I like that.
This is their 100th year doing the Tour de France, so it is a big one. Everyone, all the big names are there. Who have we got there? We've got Cadel Evans, Alberto Contador, but also Stage 3 winner riding for Orica Green is an Australian cyclist by the name of Simon Gerrans, who said it was months in the making to claim a stage. And it was a 144.5-kilometre battle. You know, I'm lucky if I'd get that done over 3 months on my Nike Plus app.
Yeah, great for Australian cycling. Smithy told me just as we walked in here that the Australian team Orica Green Edge are on top at the moment.
Great
stuff. They're leading the competition so far. So, look, good news for Australian sport all round.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And it's good to see. Let's hope that they stay clean this year. We've had a bit of controversy over the past few months at the end of last year with Lance Armstrong coming out. So, boys,
every sport's at it, hasn't it?
Boys, let's keep it clean. Let's keep cycling between feet and pedals, shall we?
That's right. You're on Joy 94.9. It's the locker room of Taylor Smithy. Let's talk a little bit more about the Lions. Big clash this Saturday. It's a decider. An absolutely incredible game of rugby to watch on Saturday at Etihad Stadium.
I've never heard noise at a stadium like the noise I heard last Saturday night with those Lions supporters there, it was absolutely electric. There wasn't a spare seat in the house. It was incredible stuff.
It was an incredible atmosphere. And it's and just having those Poms touring around in such numbers just adds an incredible atmosphere. And what a game it was. That came down to the last 10 minutes, a scintillating try there. And luckily for us, a penalty goal was missed on the siren, which meant that Australia win the second test.
Yeah, look, I was watching the game and there was, 10 minutes to go and they were down by six. And I'm like, that's just a converted try. That's just 7 points. They win by a point. And that's exactly what happened. Adam Ashley-Cooper over the line, and then the conversion was slotted really coolly by Lee Lefano with nerves of steel.
We're going to go across to Mark Rowland in the UK in a second. We'll get what's been talked about in the media over there. They've been following the Lions news. O'Driscoll's been dumped today out of the test squad, so we'll go to that in just a second. You're on Joy 94.9.
Do you want to hold your own in a sports conversation? Get a better pub quiz score, or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, you are inside the locker room. Ben Lankin with you. In the studio with me is Smithy and Adam tonight. On the phone is my regular co-host, Mark Rolly. Roland, Mark, g'day.
Good evening, lads. Good evening.
We were just talking about the British and Irish Lions. There's been a huge build-up this week towards the final test happening on Saturday. What are the papers talking about over there in the UK? Must be all about the dropping of O'Driscoll, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, it's sort of interesting. It's been linked with... it's now going to be the biggest contingent of Welsh players for the last 40-odd years. So Gatland, of course, taking out O'Driscoll after his poor performance. O'Driscoll, of course, said this was his holy grail tour. They've taken him out and replaced them with the Welsh backline combination, which is, of course, causing all hysterics here with the English media.
And a Welsh captain to replace the outgoing Sam Warburton. Alan Wynne-Jones is in there. Obviously, I would have thought O'Driscoll, having the experience that he has and the leadership role that he's played in the last couple of tours, that he'd be in the side. So big shock.
Yeah, well, they seem to be putting their faith in the Welsh players, and I suppose Gatland, who is the coach, has had a lot to do with them. Look, even though O'Driscoll, I mean, at the end of the day, even though he's got the leadership skills, he just didn't perform. So
I think he peaked too early.
Players up, yes.
Now, all talk here has been over the Horwell appeal. He's been acquitted over the second time of any wrongdoing over the stomping incident. And I imagine there's probably a few angry Poms over that decision.
Oh, they'd be pleased when that's something to complain about.
Well, it's sort of been a case of double jeopardy in a way. You know, so the IRB has protested against their own decision, which is very strange. So the IRB or the judiciary made a decision, and then they're the ones that protested against their decision making. So I think the English are being more confused rather than.
Right. So they're as confused as we are.
Soccer nation.
Yeah. There is some suggestion, right. Some pressure was brought to bear on them by the Northern Hemisphere.
I mean, the IRB is based in Dublin, so you'd think that there could be some pressure coming from there. Moving away from the rugby now, obviously the Ashes is coming, first test next week. The Aussies are over there on getting some tour matches in before the first test. What's the feeling like over there? Obviously, Shane Watson had a cracker of a game yesterday. What's the talk in the media there about the Ashes?
Well, look, it's very interesting in that, so Australia's playing down in Worcestershire.
Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire, so that was 3:40 for 4, of course, Watson getting a century. However, if we go to the other side of the aisle over in Essex, the English first-class game has sort of turned out into a bit of a farce. So players have ended up switching sides, they've had schoolboys on the field, fielding, and they also then somehow turned it out to be a bit of a charity match at the end of it by having bet.
So not the greatest English preparation.
That's just par for the course in county cricket, I think.
The English media have put the blowtorch to them on that's basically their last preparation game, and it's just sort of turned into a farcical game in Essex. So, look, the Aussies are actually doing pretty well, believe it or not. So Watson at number one and Clark at number four. So things may be looking up.
I would have thought that the UK press would be pretty shameless about it. They'd be predicting a 5-0 whitewash for England pretty boldly, I would have thought.
Well, it's funny you say that, Smithy. I think with the English, they always start off boistering, but then, of course, you know, with Nottingham coming up, so the first game of Nottingham on the 10th of July, they do start to become a bit reserved. So I think this this preparation match in Essex has put them back a little bit. But still, I mean, and the big news for the Australians is, of course, Fawad Ahmed, the 31-year-old from Pakistan refugee, who originally played 10 first-class matches for Pakistan. So it looks like after his match with Australian A, it looks like he's going to be put into the test.
It's a big moment.
The English don't do very well against spinners. So, look, if we've got an ace up our sleeve, and, of course, they're not very impressed in that his citizenship has been prioritised by the Minister of Immigration in Australia. So he hasn't actually gone through the usual channels. So I don't know. I don't think the English have been very impressed with
that. Are we getting all those same jokes about convicts and all that stuff again as well? Is that all coming out as a result? Being their bastard off child nation?
Well, no, I think that's... look, I suppose that with Wimbledon on and, you know, we'll probably come back a little bit, you know, once they actually start getting playing on the 10th of July here in Nottingham. I'm looking out the window, I'm about an hour north of Nottingham, and lovely, dull grey skies with speckles of rain.
Rolly, so, got to leave it there, mate. Got to leave it there. Move on to the Frosty Fruit ski trip we're going to talk about next. We'll talk to you next week, and you can bring us all the latest from the first test as it gets underway as we go to air next week.
Oh, that's brilliant, lads. All right.
Good night. You're on Joy 94.9. You're inside the locker room. Coming up next, we're talking to Adam Bold. He's the organiser of Frosty Fruits Gay Ski Week, coming up very soon.
The Locker Room. Come in and get changed. Sports news, views and interviews for our community. Joy 94.9.
It is Joy 94.9. You are inside the locker room. Ben Lankin, Michael Smithy-Smith with us this evening. Now, the fifth Frosty Fruits ski trip, Australia's premium gay and lesbian ski week, is kicking off later in July. Friday, July 26, it kicks off. This year, you've got a couple of options. You can do a four-day or an eight-day trip, all hosted at Hotham Alpine Resort here in Victoria. To tell us a little bit more about this year's event, we're joined by organiser Adam Bold. Adam, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you, guys. Lovely to be in your little locker.
Thanks very much. Adam, tell us a little bit about Frosty Fruits. How did it come about? How long has it been around for?
This is our fifth year that we've been doing it every year, annually. It sort of came about because we didn't really have a national gay winter event in Australia, and we were sort of looking to, I suppose, fill a bit of a gap in the market with our good friends across the trench there doing Gay Ski Week in New Zealand. We didn't sort of have an equivalent here. So that's sort of how it started, by someone saying to me, hey, we want to go to the snow. We sort of organised it from there.
So what exactly can punters expect on a Frosty Fruits trip, other than, I imagine, lots of hot wine?
Look, it's a very social event. We've got events organised every night that people can come and do, dinner events and that sort of thing. There's group breakfasts and lunches, as well, of course, there's a lot of skiing time. The beauty we have is that all of our accommodation is on mountain. So it's ski in, ski out type of accommodation. Walk out your front door, slap on your skis and away you go.
Right. Now let's talk about the skiing for a second. Do you have to be sort of a decent skier to really take part in it, or can you be an absolute complete novice like me and spend all the time on your backside?
Absolutely. There are very good instructors there that will help you stay off your backside, well, most of the time.
Yeah, great.
But no, we get novices coming each year. The instructors at Hotham are really good, and we've always had really good feedback, and we even managed to score a couple of gay or lesbian instructors from year to year, so that always helps as well.
Fantastic.
I don't think you mean score in the traditional sense. You just mean that they were present for the training, right?
Oh, who knows?
Look,
could be a big weekend.
Stay on the mountain, stay on the mountain.
I was going to say maybe that's one of the other things that punters could expect, but I was just wondering what's in it for the partners who may not be interested in skiing. Can you come up as a handbag and just hang around?
Well, we do actually have a watchman's program, which allows people to do other things. There's actually a fantastic snow play area that they've got down there where you can do tobogganing. I was going to say sword fighting, that's not the right thing. Snowball fighting.
can you write your name in the snow there as well?
I'm imagining like a foam party, but with snow.
That's right. And it doesn't stain, it's great. It all melts. So there's other activities down there. There's a day spa. There's dog sledding. It's the only place in the Southern Hemisphere you can actually do a commercial dog sled.
Wow.
Which is lots of fun. We've got a video on our website which shows the view from the cab. It's a fantastic experience. And then, you know, there's the dinner events, there's food, there's drinks. There's cafes and stuff around there, so, you know, and there's, it's a fairly wide resort, so there's a few places you could sort of wander around to get the village bus and go for a bit of an explore.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, Adam, there's not long to go now. It's coming up in a couple of weeks' time towards the end of July. Can people still get involved? Is it book out or...?
We're down to our last chalet at the moment.
Oh, chalet.
So how many chalets do you have?
We've got 3 or 4 booked at the moment.
Wow,
and
wow.
Studios and apartments. I think we've got half a dozen properties across the mountain. We sell beds, so people can actually buy a bed. They don't need to buy a whole apartment.
Oh, great.
Makes it feel accessible for people too.
And that was going to be my next question. What sort of an investment would you be looking at to spend a week on the mountain?
Look, you can get in for around $700.
And that includes your accommodation, all your skiing and everything, does it?
That's the starting pack.
Yep.
But like an all-inclusive package is around $1,700.
Yeah, okay.
And we actually have the Hotham bus that comes up direct from Melbourne. From Southern Cross Station, and you can get on that in the morning and get off for a morning ski.
That sounds amazing. I think we should put a deposit down and have a locker room chalet up there. What do you guys think?
I'll stay online and get your credit card details.
Yeah, of course you
would.
Just
as long as I don't have to ski.
Adam, thanks so much for joining us. Where can people get more information?
Yep, if they go to pointsofdifference.com, there's a Frosty Fruits dedicated page there, and they can also find us on Facebook as well.
Fantastic, Adam. Thanks very much. Good luck at the event. Hopefully you'll sell that last chalet. Hard work it is for you, no doubt. You're on Joy 94.9. You're inside the locker room. Coming up next, we're crossing to Cleveland, Ohio to chat about the upcoming Gay Games to be hosted over there in August of 2014. You're on Joy 94.9.
You're inside the locker room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
94.9, you're inside the locker room, your show for sports news, views and interviews. Ben Lankin and Mark Rowland with you. Now, Rolly, if you like your competitive sport, then next year, make sure you book your flights to Cleveland, Ohio. They're hosting the 2014 Gay Games. There are already competitors signing up from around the world to take part in one of the many sports ranging from figure skating right through to badminton. We are now joined by Tom Nobe, the executive director of the Games. Tom, welcome to the locker room.
Hey, guys, it's great to be talking to you.
Tom, sounds like it's going to be a huge event.
It is going to be a huge event. We're expecting between 10 and 11,000 participants.
Wow.
And a number of another 10 or 15,000 friends and family who will be coming with participants here to Cleveland in just over a year from now. So we're very excited to have all our global visitors come and see our region and the wonderful facilities that competitors are going to be able to be using.
Tom, there's a number of sports. What are some of the lesser known sports that are going to be at the event that we might not have heard of before?
I think you probably have heard of most of them. We have, you know, darts is one of the... some people wouldn't think of darts as being part of the Gay Games or any games for that matter, but we have a very... a large a contingent who's
wow.
interested in holding that event. Squash, handball, things like that maybe some folks may not have heard so much about. But I think overall, most of the sports are, pretty familiar to folks from around the world. Football, as in what we call soccer here, you know, we'll also have flag football, American football. And it'll be interesting to see what kinds of teams sign up for some of these events to give it a truly global flavor.
What about yourself, Tom? Will you be getting out on the field, or are you
a previous
sportsman yourself?
I'm a swimmer, and I'm actually going to be swimming at the International Gay Lesbian Aquatics Championships in Seattle this summer, and talking to folks there and encouraging them to come here to Cleveland in 2014. I don't know, though, whether I'll have time to be swimming much during the game, since it's going to be quite busy,
Tom,
for me and for my staff.
You said there's going to be 10 or 11,000 people converging on Cleveland, Ohio. Give us a little bit of a rundown on what the city's like and what sort of a welcome
sure.
the GLBTI folk will receive.
So, first of all, the whole region here, which is called Northeast Ohio, it's within easy driving distance of New York City, Toronto, Ontario, and Chicago, Illinois. We're really well located. We're a United Airlines hub, easy to get to. We are going to not only welcome the 11,000 participants, but I say a lot in the past, a lot of participants of the Games have brought friends and family with them. We're expecting about 200 to 300 Australians, and we already have at least 10 participants signed up from Melbourne, which we're very excited about. And we were down there for the festival. We weren't personally, but we had lots of friends down there talking about the gay games.
The Midsummer Festival.
And then the Sydney. Yeah. So we are going to welcome folks with open arms. We are very hospitable area. The venues, as I say, are first class. Everything's going to be central. Public transportation will be available to most of the venues in Cleveland in particular. There's going to be a real feeling that there's something happening here in the region, because we are actually smaller than many of the regions that have hosted the games in the past, for instance, Sydney. But our venues are going to be very close together, so you're going to just know something huge is going on here. And the community, both LGBT and the greater or the larger community, are just so excited about these games coming. We've got support of the local governments. We've got the corporations are very excited. So it's going to be a blast. It's going to rock when during that week of August 9 through 16.
So, Tom, how do people get involved if they want to go over and compete? Do they need to be a part of a club or a part of a team? How do people get over there and get involved?
So the first step is to go onto our website, which is www.gg9cle.com. And there's all the information on registration is there. Both teams and individuals can register. So if you're an individual swimmer, you don't need to necessarily be part of a team. You can register as an individual, or if you're an individual runner, but teams can register as well. So both can do it. And also, many people think this is just for elite athletes, and it's not. It's for the whole spectrum of athletes and participants. You know, we're going to have choral and band here as well.
Wow.
So it's not just for athletes, but if there are choral groups like in Melbourne, gay men's choral groups or women's are mixed, there will be you can register and get a medal for performing here as well. Same for band. Going back to your question, individuals and or teams can register.
Ben, I know that probably sounds of interest to you, the choral group. So,
yeah.
I know Ben's got a set of lungs on him. Hey, I'm just thinking.
I don't know about that.
I'm just thinking, Tom, someone like me being a bit of an elite sportsman, I'm probably going to end up dragging my partner along with me. In store for him sort of in Cleveland? He sort of doesn't like watching me that much. So are there any sort of events or nightclubs he could go to?
Absolutely, there's going to be, and I have a partner as well who is not so much into sports, so I'm very aware of the challenges around that. But there will be parties all week long there. We have within downtown Cleveland a number of areas that are loaded with clubs and with restaurants and places to go and have a beer, dinner, whatever. We're going to also, guys, have a festival village, which is going to be right in downtown Cleveland, and that's going to be like the public square of the games, and it's where everyone will kind of converge at the end of the day to say, hey, where are you going to go tonight? What are you going to do? Hey, I've been to this great bar or this restaurant last night. Let's go there. You know, I want to show you tonight. So there just will be so many things to do, as well as for the people who are not participating, we will have tours set up for areas around the city of Cleveland and even beyond. So there will be no one's going to be looking for anything to do. We know how to throw a good party in this town, and people who come here go away raving about it. So we may not be as well known as a Chicago, Toronto, New York City, but we sure do know how to throw a party.
Yeah, well, look, Ohio is actually quite high on our register over here in Australia, believe it or not. It was one of those sort of marginal seats that got Obama in. I know we're getting a little bit off sport tact here, but everything was about the wheat belt seats over here. So we sort of learnt a little bit about Cleveland, Ohio.
You are inside the locker room on Joy 94.9, your show for sports news, views and interviews. We're talking to Tom Nobe from the Gay Games being held in Cleveland in 2014.
The Locker Room. Come in and get changed. Sports news, views and interviews for our community. Joy 94.9.
By the Locker Room on Joy 94.9, we're talking to Tom Nobe from the Gay Games being held in Cleveland in August 2014.
Tell me, Tom, when is it? What's the weather going to be like? So we can start planning.
Perfect, guys. It's in the summer. It's August 9 through 16. We have we are on one of the Great Lakes. Lake Erie, and I don't know if you guys know your North American geography, but the Great Lakes are the largest body of fresh water in the world. So it makes our summers a little less humid, more comfortable than some cities in the interior of our country. So our weather tends to be very, very nice. Sunny, and I'm talking about the summer, not the winter, but in the summertime, we have relatively warm, but not too hot, not too humid. So we're counting on it to be just gorgeous weather and definitely worth the trip for Aussies who want to come and explore the Midwest of the United States.
Tom, is there going to be some offers for people who are traveling a long way, some accommodation deals that they'll be able to access through the Gay Games?
Yes. First of all, we have a partnership with United Airlines. I know they fly to Sydney. I'm not sure. I haven't checked to see about whether United Airlines flies into Melbourne. But
I think they do. Yeah.
And we are a hub, so it's virtually one stop through L.A. or San Francisco, and then on to Cleveland. So they will be offering discount flights, and we have you can actually book rooms right now on our website, and we have worked out some fantastic deals with over 35 hotels here in Northeast Ohio. And we will have two of our universities will be providing beds in their dorms. So all that information, again, is on our website. And we have worked very hard to make it as economical as possible, especially for you guys who are going to be, and ladies who are going to be traveling the farthest, clearly. To make it worth your while.
Look, with our dollar against yours, it's not that expensive. hey,
right down there.
No, look, I probably should have asked you at the start. What's the sort of the ethos or the motto of these games?
That's a good question. We don't have a written motto for the games, but we really are the fact that the games are in, and you alluded to this, the fact that the games are being held in a part of the country which is not necessarily known for being welcoming to LGBT folks, except for the region that the games are going to be held. The rest of our state tends to be very conservative. So we're really saying these games are an opportunity to change people's minds about issues around, the LGBT community, and to show that the region is, and it is, this part where Cleveland is a very welcoming and diverse and embracing environment. But we are really talking about, this is almost a political statement, to come to these games to show the world that, yes, the games can be held in Sydney, they can be held in Vancouver, they can be held in San Francisco, but they also can be held in Cleveland, Ohio.
What a fantastic sentiment.
And that's just huge, I think, for the games to be being here. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but they announced where the games, the three finalists for the games for 2018, and that's going to be Limerick, Ireland, Paris, or London.
Wow. So I'm barracking for Limerick, I think.
I was thinking Invercargill, New Zealand, but it didn't seem to pop in there.
Yeah.
It's actually interesting, what you just said, Tom. The same comments came from when they held the Asian Pacific Out Games in Wellington. They said that it actually helped move the marriage law through Parliament there in New Zealand, because it sort of it brought the community into probably a conservative city and showcased that we are a wonderful group of people.
And the same thing for the Asia Pacific Out Games in Darwin as well next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see marriage equality come across the line.
Yes, and at Ohio, it's going to be a while, but this is, you, as you guys just said, this will be, you know, the first step in, or one of the first steps in raising awareness and hopefully getting us to a point where that will be possible for my partner and I, who've been together 33 years and still can't, you know, we still can't get married.
The time will come, and, you know, there's people all over the world that are sharing the same plight, and it's good to speak to people who are in a similar situation, and hopefully this event can go some way to not only celebrate the culture of our community and the sporting culture of our community, but also have a broader impact as well. Tom, thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Locker Room. Good luck with the lead up to the event. We'll catch up with you again soon as we get closer.
I hope so.
And hopefully Mark and I will be able to head over perhaps and maybe...
We would love it. Welcome you personally.
I'm getting him a few emails. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Talk to you soon. You're on Joy.
Have a great evening.
94.9.
The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. Inside the Locker Room, Ben Lankin, Michael Smithy-Smith, Adam Samuel with you this evening. God, it's a mouthful, isn't it?
We have to have code name soon or nickname. Right. We have Smithy. I need to find one for myself.
The number to get in contact with us here in the studio, 0427-JOY-949. You can send us an SMS. Or, of course, you can email onair@joy.org.au. Just like this person has from South Yarra, he's asked, is the Gay Games going to be telecast on a major media network in Australia? Unfortunately, the answer is no. But there will be news from the website and across their social media platforms as well. And, of course, we'll be bringing you the news here on Joy right throughout the tournament as well.
But I can tell you what will be on television, and thank God it is the Ashes.
The Ashes will be on.
Yeah, Cricket Australia have announced that it will be shown live on Gem. So get your digital set-top box if you haven't already, so you can watch it on the digital channels. But
what
it's
Channel
been a bit
9
touch and
yet
go.
To do is commit to broadcasting any of the women's games. And I think, actually, they're going to be some better cricket to watch.
Well, Australia might actually win those
games.
So that's something we might actually be interested in watching. And
exactly right.
They're very talented cricketers who deserve recognition for what they do.
Well, last week we did speak to Alex Blackwell, so it would be very interesting to see how, you know, to watch their campaign, because they are, you know, doing so well these days.
The girls are number one in all forms of the game. They're going to go in with a lot of confidence. And, you know, there's some serious experience in that squad. So we'll be back in the girls definitely over there. And that'll kick off in early August. Now, closer to home this weekend, Friday night, Melbourne Storm, Smithy. They're taking on the Brisbane Broncos at Amy Park here in Melbourne. Tickets are still available. Two consecutive losses the Melbourne Storm have had. Now, they had a absolutely ripping start to the season, and they're now second on the table, just behind the Rabbitohs. Couple of injuries leading into this game, so they'll be definitely looking for a win.
Yeah, look, I'd say this is standard transmission though for the Storm, that half of their side is asked to play State of Origin every year.
Yeah,
and
this is the
traditional lull that happens to the Storm. Look, I think they are going to find it tough in the next few weeks, but look, I'd be expecting them still to be playing a key role in the final series at the end of the year. I think, you know, it's great for South to get all excited with, you know, Albo and Russell Crowe and all the sort of bandwagon jumpers of the South Sydney bandwagon, but I'd be still back in the Storm.
Tell you what, they did look outplayed by the Tigers though on the weekend. I mean, it's pretty wet conditions there at Leichhardt Oval, but you know, they certainly didn't look like a premiership winning team.
They looked very tired. For the 80 minutes, it was really hard to watch. They just looked like they were running out of energy really quickly.
Yeah, well, Gareth Widdop obviously wasn't there. Prop Jason Riles is out with a medial ligament strain as well. They do get back captain Cameron Smith this week, so good for him to come back at a home game. So will be a great game, Amy Park Friday night, and it'll be interesting to see. They started off with 7 straight wins, but have struggled to find some consistency of recent times. So we'll see how they go. I think Smithy, you might be right though. I think it is just that lull, but we will see them in contention for the rest of the season, probably in the grand final.
Yep, and on Saturday we have the big decider between the Wallabies and the British and Irish Lions.
This is exciting.
From Sydney, there's been 2 very close encounters, and the historic series will come down to a decider in Sydney. The British and Irish Lions won the first game by 2 points. The Wallabies won the second game by a point. So I don't know. Maybe this is going to be a draw.
Good luck getting a ticket if you can. But if you can get your hands on a ticket, get out there to ANZ Stadium there in Sydney. It will be an absolute cracker. James Horwell, captain, is in. O'Driscoll is out for the Lions. Warburton, obviously their captain, is out. Alan Wynne-Jones will be captaining the Lions in there, and basically an all Welsh team. I think there's 11 Welsh players in the starting 15.
Yeah, and in fact, I asked a Scottish colleague colleague of mine at work today whether she was going to be watching the games, and she said no, because there aren't enough Scottish players playing in the British and Irish Lions. She said there's only two, and they're not really Scottish anyway. They weren't born there. So, you know, parochialism is still alive and well in the Isles of the North Atlantic.
I think they'll still want to back a team that's going to be the Wallabies. I think it'll be, you know, the Brits are very much so. We'll back England, we'll back the Lions and anyone that's playing the Wallabies. So I think they'll still get behind the red jerseys.
Pretty much. And what's interesting is that the veteran George Smith is making a big comeback as a 33-year-old.
Big news. He'll be the first Australian to ever play in two Lions series and 12 years apart. So it's incredible. He's returned from Japan, had some good form with the Brumbies, and is now back in the Wallabies side. Last time he played in the Wallabies was 2009. So what's that, 4 years ago?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure this is the right move. He's bumped Hooper out of the team, and I think Hooper actually played a pretty good game on the weekend. He should be sick.
I think he should bring the dreadlocks back.
Well, that's true.
That's potentially what's missing. Yeah, agreed. I think the dreadlocks are a big part of his game. But look, it'll be interesting to see. Disappointing for some of the younger players who have been left out for him to come in. But look, it will be an absolute cracker of a game. So get out there and support your country. It only happens every 12 years. Smithy, let's talk AFL.
Well,
lots of news.
Yeah, let's talk about booing, because Joe Watson was booed mercilessly.
By his own supporters?
No. By West Coast Eagles supporters. But perhaps his own supporters should be booing him.
Well, he has openly admitted to using anti-obesity drugs.
Yeah.
Now, what's the story there? Why do you use anti-obesity drugs? He's clearly not obese.
But where can I get them? I mean,
that's the question on everyone's lips, I'm sure.
Really? Anti-obesity drugs? Like, who ever saw an obese AFL footballer? Go figure. Yes, he admitted on Fox Footies on the couch that he had taken anti-obesity drugs, but said he'd done nothing wrong. He said that he'd listened to the club and their doctors, and they'd all assured him that it was okay. All of it should be fine, except that the World Anti-Doping Authority rules say it doesn't matter how many other people tell you that it's fine.
You're responsible.
Your responsibility. Apparently, you can go on the WADA website and type in the substance that you are being asked to take, and it will tell you whether it's okay.
So it's pretty
or not.
Foolproof.
It's pretty foolproof. Like, you can ask questions, and it's not like he's some bright-eyed 19-year-old at the club not knowing what he's doing. I mean, he's a senior person there at the club. So
what does this mean for Essendon? I mean, obviously the ASADA investigation continues. We're being told now that we might get an outcome by August. AFL's being very quiet on it at the moment, although it seems like they're starting to set us up for what could be a big, big announcement come August.
Yeah, they're softening the blow. All the while, Andrew Demetriou is on holiday. Just conveniently enough.
Of course he is. Timing.
Overseas, working on his tan. Yes, look, everyone now is worried about what's happening. I mean, there's some rumblings from the other clubs that Essendon have an unfair advantage. They've had three games where they've come back after being behind at three-quarter time, and some say they're sort of running out games in ways that other clubs are not able to. Look, who knows? But everyone's wondering what would happen if Essendon was found to have breached doping rules on a systematic scale. Are they going to be left having a team that they can put out on the field once the sanctions are announced? What happens to the games they won? Will they be allowed to participate in the finals? You know, they've had an outstanding record so far this season, I think.
Got Watson's Brownlow to think about.
Yep. There's just a whole lot of questions that can't be answered at the moment while we wait for this damn report to come out. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, hurry up.
Exactly. Now, look, in other news, and Adam, you'll be happy about this, the Demons, of course, got a win under their belt.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, they made pretty tough going of it, Adam. I don't know if you're watching the game, but it would have been a pretty nervous last quarter.
I tell you what, if I was a few years older with a possible pacemaker, I'd be 6 feet under by now, just waiting with anticipation. Yeah.
So conceding the last 7 goals of the match to win by 3 points. So
spare a thought for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's not been a great season for them either.
It hasn't been a great season for the Dogs.
No, not much is going right. They're already talking about what players they're going to trade into the season.
Well, if they're already talking this early, that's serious business.
Yeah.
Now, Port Adelaide, Smithy, they seem to be sort of doing quite well, consistent. Like,
look, they're the story of the season. They won their first 5, they lost their next 5, and now they've won their last 3, and they've beaten Sydney, and then they beat Port. So they beat Collingwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, they've got a really impressive midfield, Boke, Ebert, and now young Broadbent. They all got more than 30 touches on the weekend. Collingwood, on the other hand, look a bit tired. Mm. They look like they're in need of a Botox injection or something like that. And in fact, their own coach, Nathan Buckley, has admitted that their side lacked hunger in the game. So, they now have traditional rival Carlton on this weekend on Friday night. And that'll be a huge game in Melbourne. That will just dominate this town.
Will be big, yeah. Now, the Swans, now big news out of the Swans camp this week. Adam Goods is out for knee surgery for at least 6 weeks, but potentially longer. Big loss for them.
Yeah, look, and I watched the game between the Swans and the Carlton on the weekend, and it was played in some of the most torrential rain you would ever see.
I saw that too.
So it's no small wonder that players came out of that game injured. I mean, it looked absolutely horrendous out there, and I think probably that's what is ahead of the teams in Melbourne this weekend, if it's going to be 13 degrees and raining. But it's interesting, actually, he's put up his hand, Adam Goods, to play for the Australian team that's going over to Ireland in the International Rural Series, which will be an all-Indigenous team, right. The AFL has announced today, which some say is a bit...
So what's the reason behind that decision? Don't you want to send your best?
Well, it may well be Australia's best team, but look, I think it's meant to be an homage to the Indigenous community and the contribution they've made to our great game. And remembering that the first Australian sporting team of any kind to tour the Northern Hemisphere was an Australian Aboriginal cricket team.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, who knows?
Now, big draw card this weekend will be the big match of the MCG on Saturday night.
The Kennett curse. So Geelong are going for their 11th straight win over Hawthorn since they lost the 2008 grand final, which is extraordinary. After Jeff Kennett said that, you know, Hawthorn were mentally tougher than Geelong. And Geelong vowed never to lose to them ever again.
And these sides are pretty much your top two teams, your premiership contenders by the looks of things at the moment.
Look, I'd say so. Look, Fremantle's probably the only team that I'd call challenging and the Swans, but the Swans have got some injury problems.
So do you think Geelong or Hawthorn can get up?
Well, I think Hawthorn are due. They've actually won 12 games in a row, so they're probably due for a loss. And look, all signs in these games point to Geelong. They win from impossible positions against Hawthorn. I don't see that changing. I think they've got their measure at the moment.
Port and Essendon, Docklands Sunday evening, another one to look out for.
Yeah, and there won't be too many Port supporters there to boo Joe Watson, so he's probably pretty safe to run out in the field, I think, this week.
Yeah, I think he might
But
be
in
right.
the context of the season, it's a huge game. Both sides have had outstanding starts to the year, and this is sort of the win that sets you up for the top four if you don't have all your points taken away from you.
And finally, Adelaide and West Coast, probably the last sort of roll of dice for both of these teams. They both need a win to really stay in contention, chance of getting into the eight.
Yeah, definitely the season's two most disappointing performers. You know, the sides we really thought would take a step up this year, and they've both been absolutely abysmal. So I think it'll be interesting to see which one of those takes that one game out.
Sports news, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
It's not Ben and Rowley tonight. It's Ben and Smithy and Adam in the studio for the Locker Room. Hope you've enjoyed our first 7 p.m. broadcast for Wednesday night. It's good to be here. Time for us to hit the showers and wrap up for another week. A couple of thank yous. Firstly, Tom Nobay from the Gay Games joining us from Cleveland, Ohio. All information you can find online. Just Google Cleveland 2014 for all the latest from the Gay Games there. Adam Bold, of course, from the Frosty Fruits Ski Week. That's coming up very soon, 26th of July. That kicks off. Still some spots available if you're interested and wanted to join in on that one. Smithy, thank you as always for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it.
We've got to stop doing this. I'm always on.
Oh, I enjoy it. And Adam, of course, pushing the buttons and also for contributing tonight, doing the roundup. Great effort.
Thank you. It's been a great night.
Thank you to Mark for interrupting his holiday to say g'day over from the UK. Of course, Simon, our producer as well, works hard to put the content together every week. And of course, everybody who's texted and sent us a message, we really appreciate it. Next week, we've got the Melbourne Argonauts, Melbourne's Queer Rowing Club, plus all the best bits of sports news from around the globe.
You're inside the Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.